Ukraine's military says it has shot down two Russian military command aircraft over the Sea of Azov, including a A-50 command and control aircraft, which can cost hundreds of millions of dollars. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters he had no information about the incident. The war in Ukraine, which has dragged on now for nearly 2 years, has seen an escalation in attacks in recent weeks. Christopher Miller is Ukraine correspondent with the Financial Times. He's been telling us what's known about the downing of these aircraft.
Reports came in late last night, Sunday, that two Russian aircraft were downed someplace over the Sea of Azov in southeastern Ukraine. And there were some conflicting reports that it could have been friendly fire or possibly Ukrainian air defenses that took them down. And then this morning, Valery Zaluzhny, the commander-in-chief of Ukraine's armed forces, came out and confirmed that his air defense forces were responsible for shooting down these two Russian aircraft over the Sea of Azov. Apparently, these two aircraft had just taken off, one from occupied territories in southern Zaporizhia region of Ukraine, another from Russian territory. And these planes, what we know about them is that they're both spy planes used to help coordinate Russia's ground forces. And the A-50, the larger of the two planes with the rotating radar on its back, is also used to detect airborne missiles and enemy aircraft while coordinating friendly aircraft as well. So the downing of the A-50 plane is actually a really big deal because Russia has a very significantly limited number of these large spy planes that coordinate their ground operations.
And the significance of this, in the, particularly over the Azov Sea, which is a coastline controlled by the Russians.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the Russians have controlled the Sea of Azov as well as, you know, occupying the peninsula of Crimea down there in the Black Sea. This is the center of their operations in the south. They've pushed ground forces up through Crimea to southern Ukraine. They occupy landing strips and airfields down there from which their attack aircraft and bombers take off on missions to attack southern Ukrainian positions of the Ukrainians in the southern and southeast area down there. You know, this would suggest that the Ukrainians now are expanding their capabilities and are able to better than previously sort of help control their skies. You know, the Russian Air Force is much larger than Ukraine, but they do not have air superiority over Ukraine or even southeast Ukraine. So this is, you know, going to give the Ukrainians a big morale boost, and it's going to take it's going to be a hit against Russia's operations in the south.
It does, though, Christopher, seem to be a rare Ukrainian success, because elsewhere on the battlefront, particularly in eastern Ukraine, Ukraine's forces are under continuing pressure from the Russians, aren't they?
That's true. You know, Ukraine's summer counteroffensive did not go as planned. It's been largely a strategic failure, and now the Ukrainians are on the back foot. President Zelensky has ordered his troops to dig in and go essentially on what's being called here an active defense. So we're seeing new fortifications across the 1,000-kilometer front line in southeastern Ukraine, things such as dragon's teeth, these large spiky things that come up from the ground and keep Russian tracked vehicles from advancing. New entrenchments, bunkers. You know, they're also bringing in air defense equipment, which is likely what we saw in the works overnight here.
Yeah, and of course, Ukraine's still very dependent on support from the Western countries, the European Union, the United States, the UK today, I think, announcing £2.5 billion worth of military and other aid. But to put that in context, the package from the US that's been held up in Congress by the Republicans is $60 billion worth of military aid. And that's presumably the scale of support that Ukraine needs.
That's exactly right. The Ukrainians at this point are heavily reliant on the West for military assistance, and the United States in particular, because America has the largest and deepest stocks of military equipment that the Ukrainians need to prosecute their war on the battlefield. The EU, many other Western countries are providing crucial financial assistance for the country and its government to keep it afloat. But in particular, you know, the United States is important, and this package that is not yet passed in Congress is going to be crucial for Ukraine's ongoing defense.
Christopher, in terms of the civilian population in Ukraine, are people continuing, those who are allowed to leave, are they continuing to leave to find places of safety elsewhere in Europe?
You know, unlike the beginning of the war, when we saw a huge influx of people leaving, the number of people leaving has trickled comparatively. We're seeing a lot of Ukrainians come back over the past year or more, especially since Russian forces were pushed out of the Kyiv region and there's no ground operation in or near the capital. The fighting on the ground is largely confined to the southeast. Missiles and drones do strike the capital, and even cities in the far west of the country, like Lviv, which sits just near the EU and Polish border. But we're seeing a large influx of Ukrainians coming back here. Many of them have either, just been away from family for so long and wanted to come back now that they feel as though it's safer in places like Lviv or Kyiv. Some of them have run out of money and needed to come back to look for work locally. So we are seeing an influx of people returning to Ukraine.
And is there though, on the other hand, an expectation there that some of those who left will hope to make new lives elsewhere?
Certainly there are people, and I know many friends and acquaintances of mine who have ended up in EU countries or the United States and are looking to plant roots and start over. You know, they are people who feel as though there are opportunities for them abroad. They have found a safe place to live. Perhaps they've received some financial support or support from distant relatives or friends abroad. Many of them view living abroad as being safer than in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And I think, certainly to an extent, that would be accurate. Mm-hmm. That is, however, a concern of Ukraine's. They're facing financial shortages, a struggling economy, and they do want people to return home, which is why they're arguing for more air defense systems from the West to better protect their cities, so that people will want to return here.
And that's Christopher Miller, Ukraine correspondent with the Financial Times.